Story goes of a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her young children in her class the story of Jonah, just like Liz was doing a few moments ago with our children. So they went through the story and they talked about how Jonah was called by God but tried to run away and the storm that came up and how Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a big fish and then he was spit up on dry land and he ended up going to Nineveh. And after they went through the whole story and the teacher had shared those things with the students, the teacher asked the kids, so what do you think the lesson of the story of Jonah is? What do you think the point of this story is? And there's a little bit of a pause. And finally, one of the little boys raised his hand and she said, yes, Johnny, what do you think the purpose of Jonah's story is? What do you think the lesson is? And he said, human beings make whales sick. At that point, the teacher knew she had some work to do with those kids. Pretty clearly, the point of the story of Jonah is not simply that human beings can make whales sick. I think if you look at the totality of the story of Jonah, we read just a few verses this morning, but so many of us know at least the highlights of the story, especially those of us who grew up in the church and in the Christian tradition could tell at least the gist of the story. I think more than human beings make whales sick, the point of the story of Jonah is all about the grace of God. What we are meant to understand is how gracious and merciful our God is through the story of Jonah and his adventures, if you will. And in particular, there are two particularities of the grace of God that I think really shine through in the story of Jonah. The first is that our God, and we see this not only in the story of Jonah, but we see this over and over again in the scriptural witness, is that our God is a God of second chances. That's what we learn from Jonah. Whether he wanted it or not, he continued to get second chance after second chance. God had called Jonah to prophesy to the people of Nineveh. And this was no small thing, as you heard Liz describe just a moment ago. The people of Nineveh were those who lived in the capital city of Assyria. Assyria was the empire of the time, the occupying empire of the time in which the Israelites found themselves. And beyond that, the Assyrians were not just exceedingly wicked in general, but they were specifically exceedingly wicked towards the Jews. Some of the reports of those days of the things that they did to the Jewish people would turn your stomach. They were very clearly the enemies of the Jewish people. And so God has come to Jonah and asked Jonah not just to be a prophet, which in and of itself is dangerous, but to be a prophet to the greatest enemy of his people. He is, by the way, the only prophet in the scriptures to be asked to prophesy to a foreign nation. All of God's other prophets are to the people of Israel or to God's people. Jonah is being asked to enter into enemy territory. And Jonah knows what is at risk and knows the dangers, and so he decides, I'm not going to do that. And so as we know the story goes, he hops a ship that's on its way to Tarshish in the opposite direction of Nineveh. And as he's sleeping in that ship, God decides he's going to turn Jonah around, and he drums up a storm in the sea, and it begins to crash against the boat, and the boat is in real peril of sinking, and they're throwing all kinds of things over the side of the ship to try to lessen the weight and make it more stable. And eventually, Jonah comes to his senses and realizes that this storm is meant for him. And so, as we've heard reported, he says to the sailors, you have to throw me overboard if you're going to survive. And they don't want to, but they do, because they want to survive. And almost assuredly, what Jonah expects is, as the one little boy said, he expects to die. And that in and of itself is telling. So he not only has run away from God, he's now willing to die rather than do what God has asked him to do. And so by being thrown over into the waters, he's accepting that fate. But God, of course, has different plans. A large fish swallows Jonah, and for 3 days he's in the belly of the whale until eventually that human being makes the whale sick and he spits him up onto dry land. And he has to go to Nineveh. And there is Jonah's second chance. Whether he wanted it or not, there it is. He disobeyed God. He tried to run away. God had different plans. And God did not give up on Jonah, but instead decides to continue to use Jonah. And so he does. And so Jonah eventually relents, and he goes to the people of Nineveh. He shares with them a word. We'll get to that in a moment. But even after that happens, and even after what follows his preaching, he gets another second chance. Jonah, at that point, if you remember the story, basically says he wants to die. He goes to a hill that overlooks the city because he wants to see what's going to happen. And as he's sitting there, a bush comes over him, gives him some shade, but then God causes a worm to kill the tree and to take away his shade. God has a weird sense of humor from time to time, right? And Jonah basically says, you know what, I'm tired, I'd rather die. And God says, no, you're not going to die, because Jonah, there's a lesson for you to learn in this. And so he gets another second chance. And my guess is, though that's the end of the story for us in the scriptures, that Jonah got another second chance, and another second chance, and another second chance. Because our God is a God of second chances. Our gracious God, our merciful God, gives second chance after second chance. We see it all through the scriptures. We see it with Moses and with David, and we see it with Peter, and we see it with Paul. And I, if I were a betting man, would place pretty good money on the fact that everyone here, sitting here today, has been a recipient of one of God's second chances, and probably more than one. Each one of us, at one point in our lives, if we look back over it, maybe not in the moment recognizing, but if we look back over it, would have to say, that was God giving me a second chance. And some of us might even be able to relate to Jonah and saying, he gave me a second chance even after I tried to run away. Because our God is a God of second chances. Our God is a gracious and merciful God who continues to give second chance after second chance. That's the first lesson of God's grace in Jonah. The second lesson of God's grace that might even be more apropos to who we are and where we are in our lives and in our history now is that God's grace is not something we get to determine. God's grace is something God gets to determine. Because remember, it was to Nineveh that Jonah was called, the greatest enemies of the people of the Jews. These are the people that the Jews would love to have seen wiped off the map. They even most assuredly prayed for, we even have that in our scriptures, prayed for God to wipe these people off the map because they were wicked, wicked people who in taking on and continually hurting the people of God, they thought were also hurting God. Surely, these are not the people that God would be willing to save. The Jewish people, those are God's chosen people. The Assyrians are the sworn enemies. Those are the people, if anything, who deserve the most of God's judgment. And that's the word that Jonah is asked to take to the people. Which is interesting, because you think maybe he might want to take a word of judgment to the people, right? Maybe a Jew would want to say to the Assyrians, hey, look what's coming to you. Oh, we could have told you. But here's the thing about Jonah. Jonah knows God already. And this is what really upsets Jonah eventually. Jonah knows that God's word of judgment is going to eventually lead to God's forgiveness and grace. And that's why he's so upset. It's interesting, as the story is told, Jonah eventually walks into Nineveh. It tells us that it was an exceedingly large city, 120,000 occupants. It took 3 days to walk across the city. Jonah walks in for a day. He doesn't even get to the center of the city. He puts in the minimal amount of effort. And when he gets to the place where he's finally going to preach, he preaches the worst, shortest sermon in the history of humankind. Right? The worst, shortest. It's 8 words long in the New Revised Standard Version. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. That's all he says. It's terrible. There's no 3 points. There's no 3 illustrations and a point. Right? This is it. Notice he doesn't say a word about God. Right? He doesn't say anything to the Ninevites about repenting, which is what God told him to say. He almost assuredly spoke those words in Hebrew. Guess what? They don't speak Hebrew. He probably said it as quickly and as under his breath as possible. Walked to the middle of a street, said 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown, and turned around and left. And what he wanted most of all was for nobody to hear him, for them to not get the message, and for God to wipe them off the map in 40 days. He couldn't wait for those 40 days to be up. So he went up on the hill, but he didn't go up excited because he knew what was going to happen. Because somebody did hear him. And word spread and eventually got to the king, and a decree came down, and all of the people of the city, the story tells us, 120,000 people, put on sackcloth and ashes and repented of their sins. And darn it if God didn't forgive them. Darn it, if God didn't hold God's judgment from them that was promised 40 days later. And that really upset Jonah. And I think if we're quite honest, it ticks us off a little bit too, doesn't it? Because those were terrible people. They deserved what was coming to them. They earned that. Come on, God, take them down. These aren't your people. The Jewish people are your people. What are you doing? We're us, they're them. Take out the thems. God doesn't usually take down the thems, does he? And that's the lesson of God's grace for us in the second part of Jonah. That we might want to determine who gets God's grace. We might think we get to determine who God loves and who God is for. And of course, when we think that's the case, we always think that we are on God's side and they're not. But God doesn't work that way. God's grace is far greater than we could ever even imagine. And that makes us feel good when it's poured out on us. But it's a real challenge when it's poured out on our enemies. Who's your enemy? Who's the person or the people that you think are least deserving of grace and of mercy and of forgiveness? Who is that for our country? Who is that for our faith? Now remember that God poured out God's grace upon the Ninevites, upon the Assyrians, upon the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst. And remember that God's grace is not just for you. There's a classic Peanuts cartoon where Snoopy is sitting on top of his doghouse writing feverishly. And Charlie Brown comes up to him and says, What are you writing? And Snoopy says, I'm writing about theology. And Charlie Brown says, well, what are you gonna put as your title? And Snoopy says, the title is gonna be, Have You Ever Thought You Might Be Wrong? Have you ever thought you might be wrong? Jonah was wrong and learned a hard lesson, one that he still didn't even want to learn after he learned it. This is a story about God's grace. Jonah is all about God's grace because our God is a God of second chances for you and for me, for everyone sitting here, and for all of God's children. And God gets to decide who receives God's grace and who receives God's mercy, and who receives God's forgiveness. And those, I think, are really important lessons for us in these days, when so often lines are drawn for us, or we draw lines, as to who us is and who them is. And it's so easy for us to forget that the thems, well, they're God's children too. And God loves them too. And God might have judgment for them, that's for sure. God might have judgment for us, that's for sure. But God is slow to anger and abiding in steadfast love and willing to forgive all of God's children. And God gets to determine who that is. So that might just for us open some doors to some better and deeper conversations, to reconciliation, to working together around issues and situations that would seek to divide us, not just amongst us, but even with them, even with those Ninevites, because they're still out there. And if anything, they're growing in number, at least in our own minds and our own hearts. And that, I think, is God's word to us through Jonah today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.